Good morning to all of you, and at least if I'm unable to be warm here in New York, at least I'm able to talk to people in California who are enjoying the beautiful weather, and I hope you're all healthy and well. It's a pleasure to be back learning with you again. As I said to Mr. Lintz, I hope that you've all been learning since the last time I had the opportunity to learn with you. It's been a number of months, but Be'ezras Hashem, we're going to share a few words of Torah this morning, a little bit about halacha, as you asked, and a little bit about Hashkafa on the Parsha as well. So let us begin with the story of Ezra HaSofer.
I just wanted to mention, I call him Rabbi Lintz.
I'm sorry?
I refer to him as Rabbi Lintz.
Rabbi Lintz, okay. Well, Rabbi Lintz, thank you very much for arranging this, and thank you for putting it together. And thank you to all of you for joining. It's really a great kavod, and especially at 6 o'clock in the morning for you, that we're able to learn Torah and get up together and start our day in this way. Kol hakavod to all of you. Mechayel el chayel. We should only continue to do such wonderful things and to inspire each other. So we're familiar with the story of Ezra HaSofer. Ezra was the leader of the Jewish people at the end of the Tkufa of the Churban Bayis Rishon. After the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, the Jewish people went into exile, they went into Galus, and they were promised in advance that that was only going to last 70 years. So it lasts 70 years, and then, as promised, the Navi then gave them the allowance to go back into Eretz Yisrael, and Ezra HaSofer is the one who led the charge to bring the Jews back into Eretz Yisrael. Unfortunately, as the Psukim say, he was not so successful in that effort. There were not so many Jews who followed his lead, but he did whatever he could. And they come to Eretz Yisrael, and Ezra HaSofer realizes we have to do something to strengthen the Jewish community that's back in Eretz Yisrael now. The ultimate goal was to build the Beis HaMikdash once again, to build the Bayis Sheni. But he felt just in Jewish communal life, we need to do whatever we can to strengthen the Jewish communal life that was then being rebuilt in Eretz Yisrael. And the Gemara Maseches Baba Kama, Daf Pei Beis Amud Aleph, tells us that Ezra at that time made 10 different institutions. Ezra initiated 10 different ideas in order to help the Jewish community regroup and really be strong with one another. So we're only going to focus on one of them, and you'll see a reason why, because it connects to this week's Parsha. So Ezra HaSofer made an institution that from that time on we have to take out a Sefer Torah by Mincha on Shabbos, and we must lane from the Sefer Torah. Not only should we daven Shemona Esrei, but we also have to lane. And then the Gemara continues and says that Ezra did not stop there. He also said that every Monday and every Thursday we need to make sure that we do this mitzvah of Kriyas HaTorah. So the Gemara there gets into a whole discussion. Is that really true? That Ezra is the one who initiated this idea of Kriyas HaTorah on Shabbos afternoon and Kriyas HaTorah on Monday and Thursday? After all, don't we know that it seems to have been around from the days of Moshe Rabbeinu? Because the Pasuk says in our Parsha, Vayelchu Shloshes Yamim, the Jewish community traveled for 3 days, and they were in the desert, and it was hot, velo matsumayim, and they didn't have any water. And from there, obviously, the Torah says the Jews complained, and they were concerned about the water, and Moshe Rabbeinu took care of whatever he needed to do. But the Chachamim learned from there, she'ein mayim ela Torah. The reason why there was a real deficiency in the Jewish community at the time is because they seem to have gone 3 days in a row without limud HaTorah. And when a Jew goes 3 days in a row without limud HaTorah, the well dries up, and life is not going to be as meaningful as it should be. And therefore the Gemara says that Moshe Rabbeinu at the time said, never again will we have a situation where a Jew will be able to possibly go 3 days without learning Torah. And how are we going to ensure that? We will have Kriyas HaTorah every Monday, every Thursday, and every Shabbos. And this way you will never have an opportunity of 3 days missed out without Limud HaTorah. So that's what the Gemara says, which is a problem. Because if this was around already from the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, then what does it mean that this was one of the institutions of Ezra in the times of the restoration of Eretz Yisrael and Yerushalayim after the Churban Bayis Rishon? So this is the question the Gemara asks, to which the Gemara gives a technical answer. Moshe Rabbeinu made some kind of institution. Ezra HaSofer augmented that, and he rounded it off. He made it a little bit different than Moshe Rabbeinu. But either way, either it was Moshe Rabbeinu who started this, or it was Ezra HaSofer. Either way, the Gemara says this is an age-old institution of Kriyas HaTorah on Monday, Kriyas HaTorah on Thursday, and Kriyas HaTorah on Shabbos afternoon. Now, the Prima Gadim, who was one of the foremost commentaries on the side, on the bottom of the Shulchan Aruch and Aruch Chaim, asks a very obvious question. in the Siman where the Shulchan Aruch talks about Hilchas Kriyas HaTorah, the Prima Gadim says, one second, Moshe Rabbeinu was concerned that a Jew should never go 3 days without learning Torah, and therefore he felt we have to come up with a new earth-shattering idea, and that is we're going to read from the Torah in the shul 3 times a week. The problem is, don't we all learn from the Torah every single day? Whether we're busy or we're not busy, we all try our best to go to shul, or even not to go to shul, but we all try our best to daven. Even if we're unable to go to a shul, we daven every day. And after all, says the Prima Gadim, isn't part of our davening, as the Torah obliges us to do, isn't part of our davening to say Kriya Shema Shachris V'Arvis, to say Kriya Shema every morning and every evening? And therefore the Prima Gadim says, I don't understand. If a Jew is going to wake up every morning and say Kriya Shema, and he's going to go to sleep at night and recite Kriya Shema once again, as the Torah mandates, B'Shachbecha U'V'Kumecha, says the Prima Gadim, have we not just fulfilled our obligation of learning Torah every day? After all, Kriya Shema is reciting passages from the Chumash itself, and therefore, asked the Prima Gadim, why was it necessary for Moshe Rabbeinu to have to institute this new idea of Kriyas HaTorah Monday, Thursday, and Shabbos if, after all, we're all safe because we have Kriya Shema every day? And the Prima Gadim suggests a very beautiful idea, and that is, yes, it's true that we say Kriya Shema every morning and we say Kriya Shema every evening. And yes, it's true that that would technically be considered a form of Talmud Torah every day. However, he says, Moshe Rabbeinu understood that we need something more than that. We need Limud HaTorah Barabim. We need not just an individual to be learning or studying or reciting Torah words by himself, but we need the institution of a community learning Torah together. And therefore, says the Prima Gadim, Moshe Rabbeinu said, if you don't have that elevated level of Limud HaTorah Barabim, then you're going to have the Jewish community as a whole will dry up. And Moshe Rabbeinu said, what we're going to do to take care of that potential issue is, we're going to have Limud HaTorah Barabim by instituting Kriyas HaTorah Monday, Kriyas HaTorah Thursday, and Kriyas HaTorah on Shabbos afternoon as well. So this was the more elevated level of Kriyas HaTorah, of Limud HaTorah that Moshe Rabbeinu wanted, more so than just an individual learning Torah. Now again, that is not to say that an individual who learns Torah is not valuable. Of course, it's extremely valuable. But we understand that the more people you have learning Torah together, the more elevated an experience it becomes. And an example of that is the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. The Mishnah tells us, if you have 10 people that come together and learn Torah, the Shechina is going to be present together with them. And then the Mishnah says, Emi nayin afilu chamesh. How do I know if there are even only 5 people learning together that the Shechina will be present at that gathering of Limud HaTorah? And then the Mishnah says, how do I know even 3 people who are learning together, even 2 people who are learning together? Umi nayin afilu echad, says the Mishnah, how do I know even if one person is sitting and learning, studying Torah by him or herself, how do you know that the Shechina is going to be present there as well? Answers the Mishnah, because the pasuk says, "B'chol hamakom asher azkir es shemi, avo elecho verachticha." Wherever my name will be mentioned, God gives us an assurance that He will join in that elevated experience, and that is something that is so special. That is something that elevates our existence. Now, Rabbi Yaakov Ettlinger, who was one of the great gedolim in the 1800s, asked, "I don't understand. Why does the Mishnah have to go through all of these different stages? How do I know 10? How do I know 5? How do I know 3? How do I know 2? How do I know even 1? If the Shechina is going to be there when even one person is learning Torah, obviously the Shechina will be there when 2, 3, 5, or 10 are learning Torah. So why does the Mishnah have to go through such a verbose discussion there when it could just say, anybody who learns Torah, the Shechina is going to be there?" That's question number 1 that he asks. Question number 2 that he raises is, don't we daven every day? We ask that God should return His Shechina to the Beis HaMikdash. Why do we need the Shechina in the Beis HaMikdash? If we learn Torah, and it says that the Shechina is going to be present, so we're good. We seem to be fine. Let's remain in Galus. Let's stay where we are. Who needs a Beis HaMikdash? As long as we commit ourselves to Limud HaTorah, shouldn't we all be safe? And why is it that we need to daven for anything more than that? To which the Bnei Tzion gives a beautiful answer that is also found in the Ora Chaim, in his commentary on Chumash. And the answer to that is that although it is true that the Shechina will be present, they explain that the potency of the presence of Shechina is not the same when I have one person learning Torah as when I have 10 or more learning Torah. There is a gradation of the presence of Shekhinah. The highest, most profound relationship and connection I can have with the Shekhinah is in the Beis HaMikdash. That's why we daven every day, V'sechazena inenu b'shuvcha l'tzion berachamim. Whether or not I learn Torah, I don't learn Torah, the greatest thing that I look forward to is having that overwhelming experience of Shekhinah in my life, which is only going to be felt in the Beis HaMikdash itself. The Madrega, the layer that is a little bit lower down than that, is if a Jew learns Torah. And if 10 people learn Torah, then certainly that is something that is going to be inviting in the Shekhinah to be a part of our experience. But every additional person that joins the group is going to add additional presence of Shekhinah as well. And what you see from all of this is what the Prima Gadim is teaching us when it comes to this institution of Kriyas HaTorah Monday, Thursday, and Shabbos is that Talmud Torah Derabim is considered to be so special. Talmud Torah Derabim is considered to be so holy on such an elevated level that we assume that it's not the same at all as an individual who might be studying Torah, and therefore we should do our best to participate when the Rabbim is learning Torah, which is exactly what you do. You don't only participate, you create the opportunities for a Rabbim to gather together and learn Torah, and not just to learn Torah, but to learn Torah with Mesiras Nefesh at 6:30 in the morning, to get up early before a day's work, and to do what we can to start our day properly. What a beautiful Kiddush Hashem, and how lucky you are that every morning you start off your days by inviting the Shekhinah into your lives, by inviting the Shekhinah into the experience of your day, by inviting the Shekhinah into your studying of Torah as well. There's a very beautiful comment made by the Tana Devei Eliyahu. Tana Devei Eliyahu is a compilation of Midrashim. It's a bunch of different Tanaim who shared all of the different lessons that they learned from none other than Eliyahu HaNavi. So, obviously they were very holy on their own right, that they had the experience of Eliyahu HaNavi joining them. But on top of that, they also shared all of those lessons and messages that they heard from Eliyahu HaNavi. And there, Eliyahu HaNavi shared a message with them which was so beautiful, and it talks about the Geula HaAsida. It talks about when will the Jewish people be redeemed, and what will that experience feel like. And Eliyahu HaNavi shared the following idea. Ein Yisrael Nigalim Lo Mitoch Hatzar. This has later become more famous because there was a song that was made out of these words. And before the song, I don't think most people ever heard of the words. But these are very beautiful words. Ein Yisrael Nigalim Lo Mitoch Hatzar. Our community will not be redeemed through pain and torment. V'lo Mitoch Hashibud. Again, the way our redemption came from Mitzrayim was we had torment, we had pain. We were mishubadim leparo b'mitzrayim, and Eliyahu HaNavi says that's not going to be what our geula will come from. V'lo mitoch hatilto, v'lo mitoch hatiruf. It's not going to be from exhaustion. It's not going to be from enslavement, from servitude. V'lo mitoch she'en lehem mizonos. We're not going to be redeemed because we just have no other way out, because nobody can make a parnasa, because the economy is so low. Rather, says Eliyahu HaNavi, you know when redemption will come? Mitoch hasara b'nei adam. Shehen Yoshvim Ze Eitzel Ze, when you have 10 people who sit together with one another, v'kol echad mehem kore v'shona im chavero v'kolam nishma, and they all share words of Torah together, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu listens to their beautiful words that they are sharing. And that, says Eliyahu HaNavi, is what will bring our ultimate geula. So I thank all of you for helping to get us closer to that time, to that experience. Talmud Torah Derabim, there's nothing that is so great like that. And now let's get into a little bit more of the halachos that govern this issue of Kriyas HaTorah. I don't want to talk about things that are obvious that you can simply look in Shulchan Aruch and find. Let's just try to go a little bit out of the box and talk about some conversations that you may not find jumping off the page itself were you to look in Shulchan Aruch Hilchos Kriyas HaTorah. So number one, this is an issue that comes up every so often. For those of us who are very scheduled, who do the same thing every day, we wake up the same time, we go to the same minyan, we attend the same shul. So our lives are in some way very, very simple. Obviously, everybody has complications, but in terms of Kriyas HaTorah, you know when you're going to hear, you know who the Baal Kori is, everything's scheduled, everything is set out in advance. But there are many people who travel a lot. And especially now, in our current situation that we're in, already for almost a year, So we know that there are people in quarantine, and the quarantine starts at a certain time during the day, and you only get out of the quarantine at a certain time 10 days later or 2 weeks later, whatever it might be. So we have situations where a person who otherwise goes to the same minyan every day, the same shul every day, davens with the same people every day, for some reason is unable to get there. And the question becomes, and I've heard this question many times over the last couple of months, there are people who have been unable to show up to shul in the morning for shachris because they're going to get COVID tested, because they're on a flight, because something happened and they were unable to attend the shul, or the shul didn't have a minyan. And then the question becomes, are we able to do the Kriyas HaTorah in the afternoon? If I miss Kriyas HaTorah by shachris, can I make it up by mincha? Again, that's not the norm. When do we lane by mincha? Only on a Tainas Tzibur, only on Shabbos afternoon. We don't normally lane by mincha on Monday or Thursday afternoon. But what if a person missed it? Would they technically be able to take out a Sefer Torah, ask the Tzibur that was there for mincha, would you mind taking another few minutes because I missed Kriyas HaTorah this morning? Can we all just get together and stay for 5 extra minutes to do it? Or do you say no? The institution of Kriyas HaTorah is something that was limited only to Shachris. Maybe there's some kind of intrinsic connection between Kriyas HaTorah and Shachris, or maybe we should say that Kriyas HaTorah is an independent obligation that Moshe Rabbeinu instituted. So if you go back to where this whole idea started of Kriyas HaTorah, I would say that if you look in our parsha, it says that the Jewish people went 3 days without water, and therefore the Gemara says that means an additional level, that not only did they physically not have water, but it means they didn't have the spiritual sustenance for 3 days. Moshe Rabbeinu says, never again will a Jew go 3 days without Limud HaTorah Berabim, and therefore Moshe Rabbeinu says we have to institute Kriyas HaTorah. If you take that at face value, it would seem that one would not be limited to Shachris. Moshe Rabbeinu never said you have to lane in the morning. He just said, make sure you set up a structure that 3 days don't go by without learning. So whether it's Shachris, whether it's Mincha, if an unusual circumstance comes up, it would seem that you would have a right to delay the Kriyas HaTorah to Mincha. And that is a very interesting Shaila. Now take for example, I'll bring you a proof to this. The Trumas HaDeshen, who is the father of many of the Minhage Ashkenaz. I don't know if we have any Svardim on the line with us today at the Shir, but many, many of the Ramaz comments in Shulchan Aruch, again, the Svardim often follow the Mechaber, the Shulchan Aruch, and the Ashkenazim often follow the comments or the criticisms of the Rama when he gives an additional layer of comment on top of the Shulchan Aruch. So the Rama took many of his Psukim from the Trumas HaDeshen, who is known to be one of the giants, one of the fathers of Ashkenazic Jewry in Germany, in Europe. So there, the Trumas HaDeshen has in Siman Tesvav a very interesting discussion. What happens, I don't know if in your community in California, if you have a Hatzalah crew, do you have that by you? I don't know. Or if you have people who are part of the volunteer ambulance corps, whatever it might be, whether it's an institutional Hatzalah or it's just a local ambulance corps, or if you have a doctor, or any other medical professional that every so often in the middle of davening, although we know we should keep our phones off during davening, but there are some people who need to keep on a radio, need to keep on a beeper, a phone, whatever it is, because they are people that are involved in life-saving activities. And every so often it happens that that person has to run out right in the middle of davening. So the person's wearing a talis and tefillin, quickly takes off talis and tefillin, runs out even in the middle of Shemona Esrei to do a life-saving activity. So the Trumas HaDeshen discusses what happens in the following case. Let's say, for example, since you're all early risers, let's say you go to the 6 o'clock minyan, and how many people really want to daven at the 6 o'clock minyan? It's very inconvenient. Unless you have a reason to daven there, you don't really want to go. So if you're at the 6 o'clock minyan and we have 10 people who are there, and we're going strong and the minyan's doing very well, and then suddenly, right in the middle of the minyan, the doctor gets a call, a patient is in respiratory distress and they have to leave immediately, or the Hatzalah member or the volunteer ambulance corps, the guy has to run out, and now we lost our minyan. So what are the other 9 people supposed to do? Do they have to stop right where they are? And let's assume that they're not going to wait for this individual to come back. It's probably going to be a half hour or an hour. It's not reasonable to assume that they should wait. What happens with the rest of the davening? So the Trumas HaDeshen discusses it, and he said, well, it depends what segment of davening you are currently doing. And he says, whatever segment you are in the middle of, you are allowed to continue and finish off that segment. So for example, he says, if we started the davening and we already said Baruch Hu, and then as the tzibur, as the community, we already said Baruch Hu Es Hashem HaMavorach, which requires a minyan, So then he says, you have a right to finish off that segment, which means, how far does that segment go? Writes the Trumas HaDeshen, that segment ends by Goal Yisrael. But you don't have a right to then do Chazaras HaShatz. Chazaras HaShatz is considered to be a new segment of the davening. So now take, for example, we got already up to Chazaras HaShatz, and now the doctor has to run out of the minion. So there, says the Trumas HaDeshen, even though we don't have a minion any longer, we are now able to continue on the Chazaras HaShatz to say Kedusha, and not only that, to say Kaddish after the Chazaras HaShatz, because that all is considered to be part of one segment. Now, writes the Trumas HaDeshen, what if we finish Chazaras HaShatz? And we finish the Kaddish, are we then able to continue on to the Kriyas HaTorah? Or do you say that's considered to be a new segment of the davening? To which the Trumas HaDeshen argues that no. Once you finish the Chazaras HaShatz, that segment of the tefillah is over, because it seems that there is no real intrinsic connection between Kriyas HaTorah and the davening of Shachris. It happens to be that we stick it in right after Chazaras HaShatz, but there, says the Trumas HaDeshen, if you had this unusual circumstance where a minion is lost, and you finished off Chazaras HaShatz, and now you're about to take out the Sefer Torah, in such a case, writes the Trumas HaDeshen, you would not be allowed to continue, because that is considered to be an independent obligation. The Kriyas HaTorah is something that is separate from the Shacharis, and therefore, back to our story, if let's say you had somebody who missed it in the morning, technically they would be allowed to continue and to fulfill that obligation in the afternoon. Now we find in various places, in different Gemaras and different Masechtas, where the Gemara raises a concern about Shema Ya'avirenu. What is the concern of Shema Ya'avirenu? So let's give an example. The Gemara says, what happens if Purim falls out on Shabbos? So, what's the problem? On Purim, we have an obligation to give Matanas Le'Evyonim. So, obviously, we're not able to handle money on Shabbos, so let's figure out how to do that either before Shabbos, after Shabbos, we'll figure out what to do. What about Mikra Megillah? Okay, shouldn't be a problem. After all, we read from the Torah in Shul on Shabbos, so the Gemara says, no, not so fast. You can't read the Megillah on Shabbos because we have a concern. Shema Yavirenu Dalid Amos Bishus HaRabim. The Gemara says we have to be concerned that maybe there's somebody who thought that they were supposed to read the Megillah, completely forgot to prepare, and on Shabbos morning they're going to wake up, take their Megillah, run out of the house, and go to the expert Bal Koreh, and they're going to try to learn it quickly in order that everyone should be able to be Yotze the Mitzvah Megillah, and they're going to carry outside without an Eruv. And therefore the Gemara says because of that concern, we have gotten rid of the fulfillment of the mitzvah Megillah if it ever were to fall out on Shabbos. And similarly, the Gemara says, the same would be when it comes to a shofar. What happens if Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos? And the Gemara tells us, maybe we have to be concerned that somebody who is designated to blow the shofar really doesn't know what he's doing, and he's going to wake up on Shabbos morning and run to the expert Baal Tokeah down the block, and there's no Eruv outside, and therefore the Gemara says, we are going to be the cause of his violating the laws of Shabbos. So therefore, because of that consideration, we now say that no one is ever allowed to blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah that falls out on Shabbos, which is very extreme. That means we're taking a mitzvah de'araisa, shofar on Shabbos, and we are getting rid of it because of a concern that maybe somebody will end up carrying and inadvertently violate the isser of hotzah b'Shabbos. So the Gemara says this with regard to shofar, with regard to Megillah, also with regard to lulav. As we all know, when Sukkos falls out on Shabbos, which it happens every year, so we know that we don't shake the Dalet Minim on Sukkos because we have a concern, Shema Yavirenu Dalet Amos Bishus HaRabim. Maybe somebody is going to mistakenly carry the Dalet Minim and go outside and violate the Isra of Hotzel. So the Maharsham was one of the great Gedolim who lived in Europe, and he had a future grandchild whose name was the same name. Anyone ever heard of Rav Shalom Shvadron? He was known as the Magid of Yerushalayim. So Rav Shalom Shvadron was not the first Shalom Shvadron. He was the second Shalom Shvadron, maybe even more than that. But his grandfather or great-grandfather was the Maharsham, whose name was also Shalom Mordechai Shvadron. So he was known as the Maharsham, who was one of the great Gedolim in the end of the 1800s. He corresponded a lot with many other of the greats of his time. And the Maharsham asked an obvious question. We know that we have an obligation to read from the Sefer Torah on Monday, on Thursday, and on Shabbos. Why do we do that? Because Moshe Rabbeinu told us that we don't want to ever go 3 days without the study of Torah. Ask the Maharsham, the same way we got rid of shofar on Shabbos because we're concerned someone's going to carry it outside, and we got rid of lulav on Shabbos because maybe someone's going to carry it outside and violate the Isra of Hotzah, and we don't lay in the Megillah if Purim falls out on Shabbos because maybe someone's going to carry the Megillah outside and violate the Isra of Hotzah. Ask the Maharsham, how do we ever lay from a Sefer Torah on Shabbos? Why aren't we concerned that maybe somebody's going to wake up Shabbos morning, and the Baal Kori is going to say, oh yeah, I don't know the laning. He's going to grab the Sefer Torah, run to the house of the expert Baal Kori, ask him to teach him, and he's going to inadvertently violate the Isra of Hotzah b'Shabbos because he's not adequately prepared for the Kriyas HaTorah. That is the question that the Maharsham asks. It is a question that is also raised by the Tosfos Yomtiv. If you've ever looked in a big Mishnayis, so many of us in our generation have become accustomed to the Kahati Mishnayis. But the age-old Mishnayis that is really far more expansive than the Kahati, it's not as easy to read, but it's far more expansive as many more commentaries, is the Yachin Boaz Mishnayis. I'm sure some of you have seen that before. Yachin Boaz Mishnayis is the big Mishnayis with the old print. Now they've made it nicer and fancier, but it has a commentary on the bottom called the Tosfos Yomtiv, which is one of the very, very important commentaries. And in Maseches Megillah, he asks, why aren't we concerned? Every Shabbos we should be worried that we should abolish this din, this halacha of Kriyas HaTorah on Shabbos, because maybe somebody is going to end up violating the law of Shema Yavirenu Dalet Amos B'Shus HaRabim. The answer that the Tosfos Yomtiv gives is, no, let's slow down here. Why does the Gemara say that maybe we have to be concerned by Megillah, or maybe we have to be concerned by Lulav or Shofar? That's because maybe someone really doesn't know what they're doing. Maybe somebody doesn't know how to shake the lulav and they're going to run to the rabbi's house or to their friend's house and ask them to teach them. Maybe someone doesn't know how to read the Megillah. However, he says, when it comes to Kriyas HaTorah, if we designated a Baal Kori, do you think he's not prepared on Shabbos morning? Do you think it's a likely possibility that he's going to wake up Shabbos morning and say, oh, yeah, I forgot all about it, and therefore I have to run to my neighbor, I have to take the Sefer Torah and learn how to read? That's not going to happen. It's impossible that that's going to happen. Do you think a person would not prepare themselves properly before Shabbos if they know that they were the designated Baal Kori? Now, I'm sorry to say that Tosfos Yomtiv has such a beautiful assumption, but it's not always the case. I'm sure all of us have been to a shul where a Baal Kori did not really prepare the way they should have, and it's frustrating to all of us. Again, sometimes it's not really his fault, but it happens every so often. But the Tosfos Yomtiv says, I can't imagine that such a thing would ever happen. And therefore, the Tosfos Yomtiv says, if such a thing is so unimaginable, therefore we have no reason to be concerned that Shema Yavirenu Dalet Amos B'Shus HaRabim, maybe he's going to carry it outside and violate the Isra of Hotzah, because this is something that will never come up. It's never going to happen. It's so unreasonable of a chance. It's similar to what Tosfos writes in Maseches Megillah. Tosfos asks, why do we ever have a Bris Milah on Shabbos? Right? The Gemara says, anybody here learned the Daf Yomi? Right? So not long ago you learned Maseches Shabbos. And the Gemara says there that we do a Bris Milah even on Shabbos. The Gemara in Perek, Rabbi Elazar de Mila writes, some even said you're allowed to make other preparations on Shabbos for the Bris Milah. So we certainly have all seen or heard that there's a Bris Milah that is performed and conducted on Shabbos. And Tosfos asks, I don't understand. Shouldn't we have the same concern? Maybe the Mohel is going to carry his knife outside when there's no Eruv. And we should say the same way that we abolish Lulav and Shofar and Megillah if it falls out on Shabbos, so too we should abolish the mitzvah of Bris Milah if it were to fall out on Shabbos. And Tosfos writes, are you crazy? Do you think a Mohel is ever going to wake up Shabbos morning and say, hey, I have a bris today, but I really don't know what I'm doing. I have never done this before. And therefore, he's going to run with the knife to a neighbor and he's going to say, can you teach me how to do a Bris Milah? That's unreasonable. Tosfos says that's never going to happen. And therefore, since that's such an unreasonable possibility, we don't have to be concerned about it. And therefore, we allow a Bris Milah to be performed on Shabbos because there's no downside, because there's nothing that can possibly go wrong. Therefore, the Tosfos Yomtiv writes, when it comes to Kriyas HaTorah in Shul on Shabbos, we have the same reason not to be concerned. The second answer that he gives is, whereas when it comes to the mitzvah of Mikra Megillah, of Shofar or of Lulav, those are all mitzvahs that are on an individual level. I have an obligation to read the Megillah, I have an obligation to blow the Shofar, I have an obligation to shake the Lulav. And that is something that I myself need to do, and maybe there's a concern that when I am looking to perform my mitzvah, I will make a mistake and forget. However, he says, when it comes to Kriyas HaTorah, which is a communal obligation, he says that there's a concept in the Gemara called Rabim Madkari Ahadadi. We will all remind each other, if we see the Baal Kori running out of shul with the Sefer Torah, someone's going to stop him. He's not going to be able to make a mistake. Look, I can't be the policeman to stop every person who runs out of his own private home with a shofar or a megillah or his lulav. That's not something that's in my control. And therefore, Chazal said, we have to do something to make sure to mitigate that factor. But when we talk about this concern of somebody potentially running out with a Sefer Torah from the shul, there's no way that a person would do that without somebody in the shul stopping them along the way and saying, hey, one second, it's Shabbos. There's no Erev outside. You're not allowed to do that. You have to stay where you are, and you are not allowed to violate the laws of Hotzah b'Shabbos. So this is just a little bit about the laws of Kriyas HaTorah. Again, there's a lot more to speak about, but I see that we're almost out of time. We have 6 or 7 minutes left. Is that correct? So we're going to, maybe we'll share a few thoughts, just something that's relevant in Hashkafa on the Parsha as well.